Now, for a few moments, I'm going to concentrate upon the younger ones. But that doesn't mean that you older ones can switch off, because partway through what I'm going to say to them, I'm going to make a mistake. Now, I may have made several already this morning, but this will be a deliberate mistake. I wonder whether either of the two younger ones will be able to spot my mistake. And if they can't, I'm going to pick on an innocent victim, could be any one of you, to see whether you know what the mistake is. Now, we began by saying Christmas is special. There are lots and lots of ways in which Christmas is special, and we could spend a long, long time, well, I could anyway, long, long time going through all the different ways in which Christmas is different from all other times of the year. So I'm going to make it easy for me to remember. We're going to think about two ways in which Christmas is special. One, you will have noticed already. You would have probably noticed on your way here this morning. But the other, you'll have to wait a week longer before you actually have in your hands the other reason why we think Christmas is special. The first reason, and you will have noticed this, is light. You will have noticed, you couldn't, yeah, somebody's shaking, or somebody's awake, anyway, that's good. Light. Outside people's homes, on the house itself, sometimes on the trees, in the fences, there are some quite amazing displays of bright light. Now, our grandchildren at the moment live in Portishead. And when we took them back... That's right. I wasn't sure what to say, but I'm sure it was very good. We took them back to Portishead. They were really excited at the light. Now, normally, Clevedon, where we live, their lights are a bit dull. This year, for the first time ever, they lit up the pier. So there are lights you can't help but notice. And then on Tuesday, our grandsons helped us, well, it wasn't me, helped their grandma decorate the tree. And out came the lights. And I expect in your home there will be lights if there aren't already. Why is that? Is there a reason? Well, I think one sensible reason. This is the darkest time of the year. Just in case the grown-ups weren't aware, I'm sure you know, you wake up in the morning, it's dark. 3:45 in the afternoon, you're drawing the curtains, it's dark. This week will be the shortest day of the year, the most darkness and the least. So maybe that's a reason. But there are two more important reasons. Jesus came into the world as the light of the world. Now we need light to be able to see where we're going. And when Jesus came into the world, he came as the light of the world to give us light, to give us understanding as to how we can be God's true children. So that's one reason. But there's another thing that makes Christmas special. Now don't get excited. These are not for you. It's a good job I didn't tell them they were here before. These are for one of our grandsons, who will no doubt put out one of these. Yeah, somebody's nodding already. And he will have some of those. Now, he's very fortunate, unlike me when I was his age. Not only will there be presents from his grandparents, but his other set of grandparents, and then he has about how many? Oh, Mrs. Hill's not here. About 5 uncles and aunts, and they will also buy him lots of presents, and his mum and dad will no doubt buy him lots of presents. Why? Why do you get special, exciting presents given to you at Christmas? I think there are 2 reasons. One is that the wise men brought presents or gifts to Jesus. And if you remember, their presents were brass, deodorant, and aftershave. Somebody was awake. Is that right? Hang on. Ah, silly me. Yeah, well, when you get old, your eyesight isn't quite as good as it was. Yes, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're not told why, but it seems probable they brought gold because gold was for a king. And they realized that this babe was a king. And they brought frankincense, we think, because that's to do with worship. And they came to worship him. And they brought myrrh, which was an unusual thing to bring, because myrrh is to do with death. But somehow they seemed to have an understanding that maybe his death was important. So that's one of the reasons why we give gifts, why we give presents. But it's not the most important reason. The greatest gift God could give us is his Son. Every one of us here this morning were once regarded as a very, very precious gift, not only from our parents, but from God himself. So the birth of a child is an amazing gift. And all parents and grandparents will understand that. But with the gift of the baby Jesus is another gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And with the babe comes the gift, comes the light, comes forgiveness. So that's why Christmas is special. Light and presents. I hope you have some really good presents on Christmas morning. And thank you for being really well behaved. And you were the one person who did manage to spot. Nobody else showed any. Though I think Jackie over there must have known something from her laugh. Right. Well, John, you've done some duty for the time being. You've got a bit more to do now, because we're going to sing again. So, boys, you've got to sit quiet and still, if that's possible, while we sing 206. And while we're getting ready to sing this carol, a little bit of history about the background to this carol. Hark, the herald angels sing. Now, the carol was written by a man whose name you will know, Charles Wesley. But Hark the Herald Angels Sing were not written by him. When Charles Wesley wrote this carol, he wrote, Hark How the Welkin Rings. Now, I want to ask you, because I had to look it up. Welkin was an old-fashioned word for the skies. And he wrote, Hark How the Welkin Rings. Now, a man called George Whitfield didn't agree with that. He thought it should be the Herald Angels who sang. And Wesley and Whitfield had a disagreement. And Wesley never sang ever again the version that Whitfield changed to Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, the tune they used was a bit slow and dull. A man called Mendelssohn, many, many years later, wrote a piece of music, a cantata, which had a much more catchy tune. And after that, a man called William Cummings used that tune to give us the words and the hymn that we sing today. Ha! The herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. So we're going to stand and sing these very familiar words and celebrate these extraordinary truths. 206. Which leaves us, before we close, one question to be answered. Why? Why did the Word, who was with God and was God, become flesh? Why did our Lord leave glory, majesty, and splendor beyond anything we can contemplate and exchange it for human flesh? Why did a virgin conceive? Why is there a Christmas? Why was there a Christmas? Well, I'm going to read some very familiar words from Matthew's Gospel, using the NIV, by the way, and then we'll just think about the answer that the angel gave to Joseph, answering that question. It's Matthew chapter 1. It begins at verse 18 and goes on till the end of the chapter. It begins with a phrase that in itself is worth thinking about. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. So clearly, although the actual birth wasn't very different from all other births, there were features, characteristics, details, truths about this birth that were unique, had never happened before, and would never happen again. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly, discreetly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And remember, we read these words earlier. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Poor old Joseph. Wow. His whole world had fallen apart. I've often speculated, and it is speculation, who told Joseph that Mary was pregnant. And what did they tell her? I doubt very much whether Mary herself came to tell her. Possibly, I just don't think that was likely. Maybe he picked up certain rumours or gossip. Maybe, most likely, one of Mary's relatives perhaps came to tell Joseph's parents, who told him. I wonder what he heard. Did he hear all or anything of what the angel had told Mary, according to Luke? We don't know. But he clearly wants to do the noble and honourable thing. The angel comes to reassure him and to encourage him and to tell him, no, you don't need to do that. And tells him the most extraordinary things. And one of the things he tells him, you're to call his name Jesus for a reason. Because his name is synonymous with why he's come. What he's going to do. He shall save his people from their sins. We're just going to look at some of those words very simply as we close. He. The whole message of Christmas is about he. Him. He who lived in majesty and glory. He of whom the prophets wrote. He who was conceived miraculously, supernaturally of the Holy Spirit. He. The focus of Christmas is him. The focus of our carols this morning has been upon him. The passages of scripture we've read focus upon him. And it's difficult in a secular, humanist, almost pagan society in which we've come, with all the external pressures we have at this time of year. It is difficult sometimes to lose our focus. That's why it's good to be here this morning and to celebrate and remind ourselves of these great truths. It was He who came to save his people from their sins. Sins. Now, generations ago, people had a much more biblical idea of what sin was and is. Today, most people kind of trivialize it. Oh, well, that happened because of my sins. But they don't really understand. No appreciation of what that means. Sins and sin are disobedience toward God, our waywardness, our rebellion against God, our selfish assertion to put ourselves first. And sin has a consequence. We quoted the verse earlier, only part of it. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of sin comes death, judgment, condemnation. But this child has come to save his people from their sins. If they didn't need a Savior, he would never have come. That's so obvious. If we or them could save themselves by what they did or by what the church thought it could do, he would never have come. It's because we need a Savior. But this baby was born, came, lived that perfect life, the life that we should have lived, can't live. So that his perfect life is credited to us. And he died the death that we deserve. And he came to save his people from their sins. He shall. I love that word shall. There's no doubt about it. Now this is a bit controversial, but it's true. He didn't come merely to make it possible for people to save themselves as long as they responded to him. He did far more than that. He came to secure and guarantee the salvation of all who would come to him and put their faith and trust in him, who would rely only upon him as their Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. He who comes to me, I will never, never drive away, dismiss, reject. That's encouraging. In a difficult world, at a difficult time in world history, and maybe in your own personal life, remember this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he shall save his people from their sins. Our closing hymn, and at least two little ones will be delighted to hear those words, and maybe one or two mums and dads as well. 211. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet, in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin. Enter us. Be born in us today.